guys good?
It's been one of those days.
Just, yeah.
It's been one of those years.
Oh, and Malin, do you have a hard out at all?
Not really.
We're not going to keep you here all night.
Okay, good.
Well, we might bludgeon him. Because I'm deeper in the attic.
As long as you keep
really
feeding me
her.
Wine, I'll be
I
here
love
all
her,
night.
Love her, love her. Hey,
what is that? I said you're a badass on Billions. I
would well, thank you.
You are it's a badass.
I love
Billions.
That people are actually scared of me now. And it's like,
well, you know, Amy's obsessed. My girlfriend
know,
is obsessed with
saying.
Your show.
Yeah. She's because it's her world.
It is.
U.S. Attorney. Yeah.
No, I was watching.
I know. Awesome. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's amazing.
She's going to be Paul Giamatti.
She's going to be Erin Brockovich, not
yes,
Paul Giamatti.
There you go.
It's just a little hotter than Paul. I love Paul.
I think so.
God bless his soul.
I think I actually paraphrased one of his monologues in my interview for the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding at all.
Amazing. I have to
kind of want to know what it is.
Yeah, I don't remember it exactly, but it had to do with, evening the tables. It was midway through the season. It was about, he was talking about all the, people who have been defrauded by, your husband.
Don't remember any of it, but yeah, I know it was in there.
Don't
he talks
yeah,
a lot
don't
in
you?
The show.
Hey, listeners, and I really want to call you dear, but I'm starting to feel like it's corny, but I mean it.
They so, love it. They are,
okay,
our dear
right.
listeners love it when
dear
you do that.
Dear listeners, tonight's guest is Malin Ackerman, and I'm so happy to see you. Every time I see you, you always bring me so much joy.
Aw, same.
And I was telling Sim earlier that I feel like we're event buddies.
I know.
Which is so sad.
I know. I'd love to change that.
I know.
Point.
And we were texting for a minute, and then I think our lives got, bombarded as they do. You're a mom. I'm a mom. We're working. It's crazy.
Yeah.
How do we get all the nannies to juggle? Are they going to get along?
I don't know. That was my fear. I heard all about your nanny, and I was like, nope. Scratch that.
Oh, let's talk about our Hollywood problems. Event buddies.
Our champagne problems.
But I do think about this a lot. Well, see, anyway, I'm really happy to be here with you. And I also think that this podcast has given me an opportunity to meet a lot of my event buddies, especially women, because we don't get to work together very much. And we have busy lives. We just don't get to cultivate friendships. Like,
totally.
Guys have their buddy actors.
Yeah. Some of them do. I just feel like I think you're right. I think it's just hard you're on different coasts and you're working and there is that thing that you really want to get to know somebody, but there just isn't enough time in the world, especially as a mom, because I don't know about you, but most of my free time is spent with my kid.
Yeah.
And so I always feel like people say, I'd love to see you and let's get the kids together. And you're like, do they really want to get the kids together? I don't know. I don't want to bother anyone. It's that whole, like, don't want to be a burden.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm sure it would be great.
And truly just because we don't get to, like, really act together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then when you do, you kind of lose touch a lot of times. But anyway, thank you for being here. And the other thing, because we were talking about a little bit before we were recording, how, our jobs, like any job, has its, like, difficult moments. And I oftentimes think about how I am, like, one of the very few people in the whole world, one of the very, very few people that gets to do something that they love for a living. However...
yes.
What people maybe, or maybe just it's you. What you become numb to, but just like any job, it has its hardships, and you end up sort of loving it. Maybe 60 to 65% of the time, if you have a really good job.
Yeah.
Then there's, anyway, just complaining about the champagne problem. I like my job 60%.
Yeah.
Like, most people are like, fuck you, Ferris. I fucking hate my job 100% of the time.
We are, though. We're lucky. As long as you can appreciate that we are lucky. And then within that luck and within that exhilaration about what we get to do every day when we take a step back and realize what a small percentage of us get to actually live out a dream job. Because a lot of times the jobs are more of like a job that would be a good job. This is a dream. It's like fantasizing about being a rock star and you become a rock star. That's fucking amazing. But in it all, I mean, of course you're just going to have your moments.
You got the creepy roadie.
You got the creepy roadie.
But you
got the
like
weird
him.
Producer, like cops a feel every time he hugs you and you're like, is it inappropriate? But I got the job, so I don't want to lose it. But you know, you have your moments. And especially as a woman, there's just that. For me anyway, there's been a lot of almost apologizing for myself instead of being proud and going, yeah, I'm worth it and I should be here. It's like, oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Which
is also how I feel. But yeah, it's an interesting world. And
has your role on Bill, what's been your most challenging role, do you think?
Yeah, it's probably little independent films that nobody ever gets to see. The ones that are really character-based. There was one that I did called Happy Thank You More Please.
I saw that.
Josh Radnor.
Yes, Josh Radnor.
Yes,
that,
I loved that movie.
I loved that film so much.
I know, but it did,
it was great. I mean, it won the Audience Award at Sundance, and then it just, you know, a small little release, and those are the films that I love so much.
See them, yeah.
They do. They see them online, you know, but I just feel like, God, those are the films that are the most challenging. I mean, in that one, I played a woman with alopecia and struggling with her love life, you know, a hairless woman and who's going to love her. And it was based on one of Josh's real friends.
I met at a party at Josh's house once, and then he was telling me about the script. And then next thing you know, you're playing
her. There we are. Yeah. And I didn't meet her. She wasn't part of the process, but met her afterwards and was so excited to me. She's fucking incredible as a human being. She's just like a vivacious, bright star. And the funny thing is, so we get to chatting and we look down as we're both talking animately with our hands. And I look at her thumbs and I have the funniest toe thumbs you've ever seen. She has the same freaking thumbs.
You have beautiful thumbs.
No,
I don't understand the toe
part. But thank
part.
You. You're being really nice. They look like big toes, but smaller big toes on my thumb. Trust me. I got made fun of.
Mm-hmm. Your full hands.
Look at that.
You have beautiful hands.
Okay. These are called Viking men.
They look normal.
Not up close and personal. But they're great for massages. They take up a lot of space. So it's perfect.
I might take you up on that. Like, I always think that my hands are my least favorite part.
I didn't offer, but I would anyway. So. Didn't actually do
That
So that was in and of itself like just a challenging, you know, wanting to depict someone properly and really a real person and a real character with all these different layers. And that's just such a, you know,
and
we
did
had this
an
space
unbelievable
to
job
do
it. It is a beautiful, beautiful movie.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, thanks. And I thought everyone was so great in it. He did he wrote, directed, and starred in
it. So
I don't know how he did that.
And wait, Allison Janney wasn't in that one, was she? She did another one of Josh's movies, I believe.
Oh, did she?
The one with Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that
was after.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I still haven't.
Sim knows that. A lot.
I know all about Josh Radnor's career.
Oh, no. Josh Radnor.
Josh Radnor. That's
it. You're his secret stalker.
Right.
he's really good with trivia. Just knows a lot.
Is that a guy thing, though? Is it guys who retain a lot? Because my brother can recite every single sentence in The Simpsons or like from a film. It's like guys quote everything. I can't even quote something from Billions.
I can't even quote something that you just said.
I think our brains just work differently.
Probably.
I mean, they do work differently.
I would say so.
Maybe because we're in the moment. And you yahoos don't listen.
Go. That's true.
We're
Unless
present.
There's a simple fact that's somehow floats out there.
I heard the word
there.
Cheese. Did you know how much cheese? I was like, no, I was asking if you wanted cheese. Well, the percentage of milk and cheese.
Okay, so should we get into this
Let's do it. Let's get into it.
Okay.
So, on our podcast, we do ridiculously stupid things.
Great.
So this is a segment we do called Deal Breakers.
Okay.
And this is, I don't know if you're single or not. You don't have to talk about it. Although you could if you feel like it, but you don't have to. We'll talk about it later, a break.
Yep.
Event buddy gossip. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but you're single?
Technically, yeah.
You didn't have to confess that. Do you want to take that out?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm single, sure.
For the deal breakers, you're single.
Yes.
And you are exactly who you are right now in this place. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, you're dating a guy. He asked you to grow out your lady bush because he likes a full one.
Okay. Sure. Why not?
Not a deal breaker.
Not a deal breaker. If he likes that, great. I don't, less shaving for me.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
I'm totally down.
Yeah.
If he wants to weed through that forest, go for it.
Okay. You're on your first date.
Mm-hmm.
You're out at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
He mentions that he's a feminist and that he grew up with a strong mom, so it's always been his principle to go Dutch with the tab.
That combination doesn't work for me. That's like, don't bring out the feminist thing with a strong, like, make that a separate story. Just be honest and just be like, hey, do you mind if we go Dutch? Cool. But you bring in the feminist thing, I'm not so crazy about that. It's nice to be treated to dinner, but I'm okay if like the, I don't know.
See, like,
it's not a deal breaker. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
It depends on the guy.
Right.
And how he presents it.
This is because we were having this argument earlier when we were going over these, because Sim feels like that's a total, like, with or without the feminist stuff, total deal breaker.
Like, yeah. I mean, a guy should always pay on the first date.
See, you're a gentleman. And that's lovely. And it might be like a struggling actor who really would like to pay for you. And you're just really into him. And, you know, there's so many facets to that. But I agree. I mean, it is. I've been on dates lately and it's really nice when the guy arranges, especially when they arrange where they're going to. If they decide the place, then I kind of feel like they should maybe pay. Just because what if they take you to the frickin' Four Seasons and the bill is like $300 and it was their decision to take you there? You know, and but I don't know. Not a deal breaker.
I know, but see, here I am with Sim, though. Like, Sim has – for him, it's very black and white, but for me, it's gray. But I will say that he did get me to kind of, I guess, come to terms with the idea that it would be the tiniest demarcation. And I wouldn't want to explore it because then that means that maybe that's some ugliness within myself a little bit. But it would be the tiniest thing, like,
yeah, like a little.
You would think of me differently. You would
just the tiniest.
Yeah, I'll leave a little.
It would just reside in my subconscious.
Because I think there's a difference between. I work, I do my own thing, I take care of myself, but I also love celebrating being a woman, and I don't mind when a guy opens a door and feeling like a lady every now and then. And that's sort of just part of feeling like a lady. But I'm also open to discussion as to why you want to go Dutch.
Right. And because Anna brought up the point, well, what if she asked him out?
Right.
Then what happens in that situation? And I said, well, you know, it depends on, you know, with the financial situation, like you brought up, a struggling actor. I feel like it should be the guys. The guys should be setting up the date. And if he doesn't have any money, get creative. You don't have to spend $200 on dinner.
That's true. You could do a picnic.
Right.
I'd be super happy with that.
Yeah. But I will say, I mean, I'm so happily married. I will say at my age, with my experience, I was always very attracted to broke guys, apparently. I think at this age, I couldn't, like, I'm not sure I even want to go down the journey of a struggling,
understandable. Because you have kids too, and you have, like, there's so much on top of it.
Yeah, but even without that, I'm just saying my age alone at this point, like, I don't know, I don't need anybody to make a ton of money at all. But I'm not sure I want – I don't think it'd be a great idea for me to be in start to involve myself with a struggling dreamer.
Right. That you may have sex end up them. Support. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's where it's like, you want to go Dutch?
Oh.
Cool, you're really hot and it'll just be tonight.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
no future.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I mean by situational, you right. know?
Yeah, okay.
So maybe it is a deal breaker for long-term relationships.
Long-term, yeah. Okay. He is a vegetarian and asks that you not eat meat around him.
Go fuck yourself. Come on. If I want to eat meat and wear leather because I eat the meat that I didn't know, you can't. That's like, no. Deal breaker for sure.
Love it. Okay. You discover that he wears lifts in his shoes.
Oh, that's okay.
Really?
I think so too.
But doesn't that show a certain type of insecurity in him?
No.
That could translate to other areas in his life?
No, you're reading way deep okay, into fine. It. He might just want a little extra height.
Well, then you know what? People with that short man syndrome...
Listen, Prince, okay? He wore lifts in his shoes.
He's a confident dude.
Dude, I would have dated that guy, no problem.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So
good point.
Well, and also we are in the world of Hollywood where we have met a lot of there's a lot of people who do things, men who do things for vanity that in the outside world probably wouldn't really be considered. Don't you think?
Yeah, I totally think so. And also... if you look on the flip side of that, I mean, we put hair pieces in our hair as
right.
women. Like, there's all these little
there's
tricks.
A difference. It's a huge difference between hair extensions and lifts.
I guess I don't have a high standard for myself. I'm down with anything, is all I'm saying.
No, I'm with you.
I'm totally fine with it.
But Sim, what about a miracle bra? You're fine with that.
Oh,
titties are titties.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care.
Okay.
Titties are titties. Even if you would be disappointed.
I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah, at that point, you're just so happy to see
exactly.
the titties.
Exactly. Oh, my God. I got her bra
think
off.
The puss
yes.
is coming. Right.
I had an interesting moment with one of those. You know, the miracle bras that have like the silicone in them? Had a guy, this was way back when I was a teenager. It could totally happen today too, but just saying, I don't wear those bras anymore because of this. But it was a silicone bra that was really padded, and it was this guy that I was dating, and I hadn't thought it through really. So when we get back to my place and clothes are coming off, we were in the kitchen, and it's bright, and it's, you know, stone floor. And so as he takes the bra off, all you hear is on the ground. I'm like, oh, there go my tits. He was still fine, by the way.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
I think
he
still
went through with
it. But it was a really embarrassing moment.
I love the visual of you guys in the kitchen.
Yep. It was
like
hot.
Your it parents' was kitchen?
No. I've been living on my own since I was 16.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was 19, 20 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you made a joke about it.
I do now, yeah.
Oh, at the time you didn't.
No, I didn't say there go my
okay.
tits. I tried to cover completely. Gotcha. I was not as confident as I am now.
Isn't that the freedom of getting a little older that you can just be like,
yes,
oh,
you don't care anymore. I mean, you care, but not. I mean, you can make fun of yourself.
Because I wore
so
a miracle bra like in college and stuff, and I was so – I remember one time there was like a bunch of black lights set up in one of the stoners' rooms, and I went in and I was wearing this pale yellow shirt, and you could totally see like the miracle bra-ness of my miracle bra.
Yeah. That's always a good moment.
But I think in a weird way it kept me from, for better or for worse, sleeping with a lot of people because I was so embarrassed of like anyone finding out about the miracle bra.
Yeah. Who knows, for better or for worse.
Okay. Last one.
Okay.
You are... You're seated in a movie theater, mm-hmm. and your date asks if you want anything from the concession.
Mm-hmm.
You ask for some Swedish fish, and he replies, I don't think they sell fish here.
What? That's rude. That's not how you talk to me. Just go get them. Just find them. Do they not sell Swedish fish at the concession?
I think we were trying to convey that he
doesn't know
what Swedish
fish is. Or he doesn't think Swedish fish.
He thinks
oh,
it's
he
fish.
Just thinks it's fish.
It's fish.
Oh, bye-bye. oh God, so see you later, because we got to be on the same like right. page.
Would you explain to him?
No, I would just go okay, and then when the movie was done, or I would just I have to go to the bathroom, and then I just sneak out and see you later.
Oh my God, I love it.
Come
Damn.
On. I mean, it's fine if you don't know what Swedish fish are, but don't do that. Like, you have like a sense of humor about it, or just be like, I don't know what that is, but I'll check if they have it. You know.
Yeah. No, he's a dick.
Yeah. Yes. Basically.
He's an idiot dick, too.
Yes. You don't know what Swedish fish are. We call them fish in Sweden, but whatever. The guy just... We're in America now.
Okay. Now we're moving on to how would you proceed?
Okay.
Okay. It's your third.
This is fun, by the way.
Thanks. You're on your third date with Tucker, who's a photographer.
Okay.
You go into his house for the first time.
It's the first date, you said.
No, third date.
Third date. Third date.
Okay. There's been a couple of really nice dinner dates.
Okay.
And this time you've had dinner, and he invites you back to his place, and you go.
Has he paid for dinner?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Uh-huh. He's a photographer. So you go into his house for the first time and notice in his bedroom he has tasteful black and white nude photos of a woman.
Mm-hmm. One woman only.
Yeah.
Okay.
Framed on the walls.
Okay.
When you ask him about them, he tells you that he took them and they're of his ex-girlfriends.
Okay.
How would you proceed?
And they're still hanging on the wall?
Oh, yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'd have a lot of follow-up questions.
You follow.
I would ask how long ago they broke up. Like, was it yesterday?
Eight months ago.
8 months ago? Oh, no. That's not...
There's art.
There's lots of art in this world.
Well, he is a photographer.
Yeah, that's great. But not in your bedroom, man. Not on your wall, all right? Then you take it and you put it in a hallway and you go, this is art. And
I don't have any feelings towards her. It's just, I view them as, you know, beautiful art. And as you can see the composition in this one. You can see how, I had to really, like, work the shadow to my advantage of eroticism. Right.
So first of all, we never would have had a third date because you've got no sense of humor. So I'm going to go. I don't think I could jam with someone who's all about, like, I don't think I can. That's so nice. I love the composition. The black and white is beautiful. Uh-huh. Have a nice evening staring at pictures of your ex-girlfriend. I'll be, seeing myself out.
Like, don't be weird, man.
I'm not being weird, dude. You're
it's a little weird. No. Like, don't be weird. I feel like we've really gotten to know each other and you're not jealous, you know? You're cool.
Oh, I'm not jealous. This is just weird.
No.
It's not a jealousy thing. It's just you got to get over her.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just stay for a little while. We don't have to go into the bedroom.
Yeah. Exactly. Let's never go into the bedroom.
Yeah, we don't have to.
Nope.
We don't have to.
No.
No, come on. Come on.
No, I'll need like a full bottle of vodka to even just be able to.
I got vodka.
Great. Let's drink.
All right. Yeah, I love it. No, I love spending time with you. I feel like there's been
a
great
connection. Having an anxiety attack. I'm literally getting sweaty. I don't know what I would do. See, I'd have to know what the other dates were like. I need more background information. Like, are we having so much fun laughing a lot?
That was sort of our intention. It was
really great.
Really well. So well that you were like, this might be like a sex date. We wanted this to be challenging.
This is challenging because I feel like that's weird. I don't mind art. I don't mind that it's ex-girlfriend, but if the whole room is filled with her naked pictures.
Let's see. There's four of them.
Okay. I love you trying to make it work between me and Tucker. You just really want us to happen.
I don't know what I would do.
I don't really know what I would do too. It's one of those things like it has to be a feeling in the moment. Like you kind of get a gut feeling of like, is this guy weird? Is it really just art?
I would feel like, are we at the place where I could ask him to like if we were to go out again, if I could ask him if things were getting serious, can he take them down? Because I feel I don't know what I would, if I would feel like, do I have the right to say that?
No, I probably wouldn't say it for a while, but it would be, like you said before, like the going Dutch thing, it would just be like a little check where you're like,
I think it's a little bigger than, I would want to maybe run it by my friends.
Yeah.
And say like, does this make you, because I would be start to question myself a lot. Yeah. That's just me though.
Yeah.
You took the stronger move by getting out of there.
Well, when you first said it was like a whole wall of them that got
that's
a little
true.
Weird. Yeah. And it's been 8 months and you kind of feel like if someone's aware enough they're going to take someone home eventually, you either just say it's art if you want to leave it up on your walls and you don't say it's your ex-girlfriend, or you deal with your shit and you're like, it's been 8 months, it might be time to take some of the stuff down and put it in the hallway or open the space for new people.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really keep pictures of my ex. I mean, they're not art, but I don't know.
No, I'm ultimately with you. I just it would tap into insecurities in myself that then I would start to question my own 100%. Insecurities. Like, are they valid?
The downward spiral, yes. Yeah. That's why we have friends. That's why we have really good girlfriends.
Okay, I have a question for both of you.
Yes.
If you're looking at let's say you're on a third date or a fourth date, and you really like this guy, you decide to stalk his Instagram. And then as you're scrolling through, you see pictures of, him arm in arm with another girl. And obviously you look at the timestamp and the date, and you know that it's been a while, but yet they're still up there. How long do you wait until you tell him, the dates are going well, you guys are kind of blossoming into a relationship. How long do you wait to tell him, hey, I think that it's about time you take down pictures of your ex-girlfriend?
Oh, I don't even know if I would ask him to do that.
Really?
Yeah, that's fine. That's before
me. At what point should he be well aware, we're in a serious relationship now and it's high time that I take this down. At what point should the guy be aware?
Oh, you're asking the wrong lady.
I know. I feel like we're both
the Instagram thing is such an anomaly.
But I know it's a thing. I know it's a thing.
Oh, really?
I would want to date somebody, I think, who still had photos up, because I think they're indicating to their friends or whoever their followers are that this is still something.
Right,
they want
but there
to
are people that'll
of.
Just post a ton of pictures. They'll post like 10 a day. So if you go through their entire feed, you notice pictures back there.
God, see, this is a tough one because I would never. It wouldn't occur to me to look at somebody's Instagram.
Me neither. Yeah, and I probably don't.
And I don't know the rules.
Wait, did you look at my Instagram feed when we were starting? Yeah, I think everyone looks at everyone's Instagram feed.
And were there ex-girlfriend pictures? And did you ask him to take them down after a while?
But I took them down immediately after.
You're such a gentleman.
Yeah.
He is a gentleman.
See, I don't know. And those are the things that I don't think I would ever ask someone. And maybe then it would be sort of like, it's so hard because it is a what if, because I was in a marriage for 11 years. And I feel like this crazy old lady who's come out into the world of millennials and like Instagram and and Snapchat and people dating on Tinder. And it's just... like a whole new world that's way beyond. And I haven't had the opportunity to date someone who's so present on Instagram or social media. So it feels so far away. So I don't know how I would react. I've never been one in the past to care about someone's past, because we all have a past. And
that's a good quality.
I've never thought about, you can't get mad at someone for dating someone before they even knew you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just hypothetically thinking now, I guess there's a respect thing that is a really nice gesture. I think I would appreciate that. I would never ask, but I would appreciate, and it would give you a point for just taking it off without even asking.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this is a nice guy. Yeah. That's exactly that's right. Really respectful.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know when the right time would be or if there would be a right time. And maybe it would be that kind of thing. It was like, if he can't think of this himself, then maybe
right.
I'm not, I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about it.
Yeah.
Hopefully I will never have to go through it.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know the rules.
And we're so hip to this shit.
God.
Yeah, I don't know Facebook rule. I don't know any of it, but I don't know. Okay. Uh-oh. Should I do the second one?
Yeah, do it. Okay. Go for it.
How would you proceed?
Okay.
Number two. You run into Martha Stewart at an event and you express your love for cooking.
Okay.
And Martha says that you must come over for a, you know, springtime feast at her place in the Hamptons.
Uh-huh.
She's going to teach you how to cook. Maybe you say, I would love that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's sort of this really like, wow, what an interesting side of Martha Stewart. She's so cool. She's invited me over, whatever, however you're feeling in the moment. But let's say you accept.
Yeah.
Because that's how this will go.
Okay.
You're going to spend the afternoon with Martha and uh-huh. and cook a feast with her.
Great.
You arrive at her place. It's unreal, mm-hmm. right? And she shows you around, maybe a little bit of the main house. Then she's like, I'm going to show you the farm.
Okay.
And she takes you out to the farm.
Is this going to get kinky?
And you gather eggs from her beautiful heirloom chickens. And, you know, and then you know, she shows you her gorgeous, beautiful, you know, Jersey dairy cows where she gets, like, her cream and her butter.
You're really setting this up. Okay.
Oh, it's a beautiful day. Don't okay. forget. It's gorgeous. And there's, like, wildflowers.
How could I forget?
Yeah. And then she leads you over to this, you know, her flock of sheep,
mm-hmm.
and there's three young lambs, and they're so cute. They're like meh, meh, and you know, Martha's petting them, and you're petting them,
okay.
And then she says, "Well, we're going to have fresh lamb for lunch," and she pulls out a switchblade, like not a switchblade, but a big sharp pocket knife that's, you know, that looks like a small Bowie knife. And she says, you know, you must do the honors. You must, this is sort of a rite of passage. Mm. It's just a quick slit across the throat.
Mm. I love how you make it just like, just a quick.
How would you proceed?
So I'm going to be hypocritical now because I eat meat, but I can't do it. I could not. I do love animals, and I'm such an asshole because I eat them, but I can't actually kill them. I could never kill a little lamb.
Could you watch her do it?
No, I would not like to at all. I mean, I would be like, I would be respectful, and I would. I don't even know. I don't even know.
Could you
man.
Stay for the lamb?
I don't know if I could stay for the lamb.
Very fresh.
What do you do? No. I don't know, man. That's just too. I mean, it's kind of fucking amazing. The thought of like Martha Stewart getting all bloodied up. Like, it's just so weird that it's kind of like I feel like I would be in a weird movie, but I don't actually. If she actually pulled out a knife and was about to kill a lamb, I couldn't. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch it. I could eat it.
You could.
Watching it. It's like one of those weird like, disassociation
Martha,
things.
Would you mind if I stepped away for a few minutes?
I still don't know that I would eat that lamb.
Yeah.
Like I still can't. That won't work for me. It has to be packaged in a grocery store so that I can disassociate myself from the thing that I'm eating. I'm a horrible person.
No. I'm completely with you. Chris is – I'm always so impressed because he – he's a hunter and he takes a lot of pride in eating anything that, you know, he kills. And
I think that's the better way. I think if you can kill it, you should eat it. If you can't kill an animal, you probably shouldn't be eating them. But I really like prosciutto.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
Wow. Yeah, man.
So it's so hard.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Come on. That is some good
But there's
shit.
Been there's been some moments where I did have a while where I went pescatarian because I can kill fish. I can fish and I can do it. And my dad taught me and we would go fishing together.
How do you just slam
it's horrible. No, but instead of letting them suffer, you put your hand down their throat and you snap their neck.
Sweet.
It's done.
Awesome.
That's the Viking in us in Sweden.
I love it.
And it's really good. And then I was like, all right, so I'm just only going to eat fish because that's the only thing that I can kill. And my dad is the same thing. He's a hunter, and I used to bawl my eyes out because he was out there killing deer. But we have an overpopulation of deer in Sweden.
Yeah.
And we would eat the whole thing. And, like, so there's this – but it's a weird one. So, Martha Stewart, thank you so much for the invite.
Cow is just good.
Cow's great. Grown-up cow. Good old, really old cow. Like, that's lived a long life is perfect for me. Aged cow.
I don't want
the little
36-year-old sinewy.
Don't want a veal. Don't want a lamb. I want an old sheep or an old cow or an old goat. Everything old is great. Diseased and old. They just pop them with antibiotics these days anyway. So, yeah, I mean, you're just eating a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's great.
Do you guys know the most humane way to cook a lobster?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
How do you do it?
You take a big butcher knife and you shove it in their head.
That sounds so humane.
Actually.
Oh, God.
What you're supposed to do is, instead of throwing the lobster into the boiling pot of water.
Which is horrifying.
Because they actually do scream. I don't know if you've ever listened closely.
I thought it was their shell that's. Like that's
you might be
coming
right.
apart.
You might be right. Okay. I always thought, yes, but it sounds like a scream.
It sounds like a scream, yeah.
It does.
The lobster finally found its voice. It spent its whole life undersea without a voice.
Told you I was a soprano.
I want to see the tiny little lobster vocal cords.
Oh, my God.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
you're supposed to put the lobster in the freezer for 10 minutes.
No, that's what makes the flesh pretty tender.
Really?
And that, because then when you boil it quickly, and then you put it back in the freezer.
So you know about this then?
Sim, I know more than you think. Wait. But you are supposed to.
I thought you were supposed to put it in the freezer first so it's frozen in time, in space, and they have no idea. And then they have no idea. Once they're in the boiling water, they'll just die.
I don't ever want to come to your house for a lobster party.
I think they die a quicker death than having them in the fridge.
Okay.
So that's more humane.
Yeah.
But I think the most humane is really like you stab them between. There's a little lift between the head shell and the rest of their body shell, and you have to angle your butcher knife and shove it right there. You want the tip of the knife to come
and
out
don't
between
miss.
The eyes.
Who taught you how to do that, by the way?
I read it in books.
You like the more inhumane way because you first want to freeze the shit out of it and then you want to boil the shit out of it. So it's getting a double whammy.
Well, I would say, wouldn't we all prefer to die of hypothermia than boiling to death? Because you kind of go into hypothermia delirium.
Yeah. I think I'd rather drown.
Right?
But yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, what was happened to Leo on Titanic? Remember?
Yes.
What was he saying?
Yes.
What was his last words? Save yourself, Rose. I love you, Rose.
Something like
you
that.
You go on and lead a rich and fulfilling life in America, Rose.
Thanks for sharing this piece of wood with me.
Oh, my God. Even though that piece
of
wood
had
so much room on it.
Glad you got the necklace.
There was so much
That's
room.
That's the whole discussion. He could have fit on there for
he
sure.
He easily could have fit on that That's piece right. of wood. Yeah.
Yeah. He really
That's another
could've.
Discussion. Yeah.
Whole other discussion. Yeah. You know, a friend of mine, I grew up in Toronto, and we used to go to Chinatown. It's the most ethnically diverse city in the whole world. And I used to bartend, and we would go after work, and because the only thing that was open to eat was restaurants in Chinatown. So we'd go, and on the menu it said fresh frog. And I had a friend who is a complete vegan, and she was like, what do you mean fresh frog? I want to save a frog. So, you know, she somehow talked the waitress into giving her this frog, and the waitress was hesitating. She's like, yeah, but miss, it's like it's frozen, but it's fresh. So it de-thaws, and then we cook it. And so anyway, we get this frozen frog that is starting to de-thaw as we're eating dinner. She's literally sitting there petting it, trying to bring it back to life. We finish our dinner and it's like twitching alive, sort of like, because you can freeze a frog and they come back to life, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
So we get in the car, probably with a drunk driver at the time, because again, we were teenagers and everything was wrong. And so we get in the car, we go, she wants to release the frog in a city park in Toronto where there's a pond and we have lots of raccoons and foxes, and you're just like, so she releases this half-frozen frog who's still trying to twitch back to life.
Probably has different predators in its homeland.
I mean, it was a dead frog no matter what, whether you ate it there at the restaurant or
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a good chance that frog was maybe not a Canadian frog or, you know,
probably.
Like there's a good chance it came in from an Asian country.
Totally. Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, sorry.
Frozen. The beginning. Yeah. It just never had a shot. No. Anyway, so she was very excited about it, and as lovely as she wasn't ever the sharpest tool in the shed. And, you know, so the whole night she was elated about the fact that she had saved a frog, and all of us were kind of like, that frog's dead. Like, long time ago, some raccoon got, it was like, oh, a free meal of, like, a half-frozen frog that's twitching enough so that they can see something's alive but can't get away. So, yeah, that was my saving an animal story. I do. I rescue dogs. I'm a lovely person. I love animals, by the way. I've only told horrible stories up to now.
No. You said you would not slaughter a lamb with Martha Stewart.
I will not do that with Martha Stewart. I will eat her eggs.
You are like on the ethical, moral, meat eating side.
I'm on the scale is like somewhere there. I'm one way or the other.
Yeah. No.
Depending on who you talk to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I like when I first started dating Chris, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to hunt with you. I'd love to hunt with you. And then when it came down to it, I was like,
yeah.
Well, now that we've been dating and for a long time now, I think we're good. I probably don't need to prove that part.
Yeah. Just really don't enjoy it. Yeah. Clay pigeons.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to play a game now.
I don't really know.
So whenever we play games, Anna always loses.
Okay.
So just, no, but she did win last time.
You
beat Caitlin Olsen and Scott MacArthur. You did win that game.
Yeah, that didn't feel right, though.
But otherwise, your record is probably 1-8.
Really bad.
Yes.
And I don't enjoy games.
Oh.
But we enjoy you playing games because it's so much fun to see you struggle.
I'm happy to play a game with you, though.
I'm happy to play a game with you.
Well, we are going to do a game in honor of your show Billions, now in its second season on Showtime. Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And it's a game called Finance Term or Sex Position.
Mm.
So it's very easy. I'm just going to give you a couple of buzzers. Do you want the little what is it called? What are these things called?
It's called that. Oh, God. What are they called?
Like Russian nesting.
Anyway.
Yes. Well, do you want that Russian thing, or do you want one of these Santa Claus?
I guess Russia is, it's right close to Sweden, so I might as
well
take the Russian.
There you go. It's yours. You can just shake that.
Isn't it a marushka or like a...
Matryoshka.
It's a matryoshka.
And Amy, if you don't mind helping me keep score, you can just, there we go.
So wait, so we ring it if we think
if you know
the
answer, you're going to guess. First question. So the game is finance term or sex position. First question. The short straddle.
Sex position.
It is not a sex position. You have to earn it.
50-50.
I know. I do have to earn it.
It's a finance term. It's about option strategy.
Great.
Okay. Oh, wait. I thought I was going to have to earn it by actually trying to guess what it was. Like, I knew that it was a finance term, but actually what...
Oh, I see.
Meant.
That'll be an interesting twist to the game. Let's do it that way. For the next eight, we'll do it that way.
I mean, you'll have to be the judge if I'm in the ballpark or not.
Okay.
Absolutely. Next question. The stalking dead horse. Malin.
Sex position.
It's not.
Fuck.
It's a finance term.
I still want to try
it. If you can guess what it means, Anna, then you can get the credit for this.
I think it's when a stock is low and everyone thinks it's about to die, but you're still following it and maybe investing pennies, watching its potential.
So you guys can tell me she's close. It's actually a bid for a bankrupt company's assets from a buyer chosen by the bankrupt company.
I'm not close.
Not close.
We're
not going to give you credit.
Thank you.
I'm going to be the judge, and we're not going to give you credit.
Yeah, no. But I know.
Third question. The bucking bronco. Oh, Malin.
That's got to be a sex position.
It is a sex position.
Oh, thank
God. Do you know what it is? Oh, you already got the point, but do you know what it is?
Let her bucking guess. Bronco?
Yeah. Let her guess.
I'm imagining, I mean, the visual I'm getting, again, because I'm an old lady, I don't remember the 11-year relationship. The bucking bronco is when one person straddles the other and rides them like a bucking bronco.
You mean, but
you stick them so that they buck, and then they buck.
Yes. Well, it's it says here, yes, involving doggy style and dirty talk. Right. But I heard, but you know what? I know Cassie wrote the answer to this one, and I know that it was something else. I thought the bucky bronco.
So the
bronco,
girl has to buck.
But she bucks like if you say something in her
really
ear that
difficult.
Really pisses her off, and then she's trying to buck you off.
As you're trying to
as you're as you're
dog.
As you're
so
having as you're as you're going doggy style,
rape?
You whisper yeah, something into her ear, and then she's trying to get you off.
Get you out.
Get you like buck you off like a bronco does.
Right.
So
off
sex
meaning
becomes
out
rape.
Because you're in.
I guess this would be considered rape. Huh?
Sex was that it's sex that becomes rape.
Yeah, it becomes rape once you say something that yeah.
So yeah. If a guy ever asks you if you want to do the bucking bronco, you run. This is a, like, what would you do if the guy's like, hey, you want to do the bucking bronco?
And
you're like, I'm
no. But I do feel like broncos must feel similar to some degree.
Yes.
Do you feel like broncos are being...
They're all calm. Well, they're they're calm, but they're probably jacked up with stuff. But they're in their tight little, you know, cages there just waiting. They don't know what's happening. And then somebody starts hitting them. The gate gets opened. Somebody's on top of them. And they're like, get the fuck off of me.
Yeah, but they tighten a belt underneath their bellies or something like that. It's like they tighten so hard that they're trying to get off. It's not even the person so
Miriam
much.
Miriam is gesturing about
their balls.
Oh, their balls.
I thought it was.
Balls.
Yeah, okay. I didn't want to say it without.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
their balls. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, what's the score
strap
right
their
now,
balls
Amy?
In.
It's 1-0 Malin. Next question. The dead cat bounce. Anna.
I gotta go with the stock term? Or
yeah, it's a finance term.
Finance
that's correct.
Term, finance
it's
term.
It's a price pattern used by technical analysis. You weren't gonna get that.
Okay, no, sure.
you got so much faith.
I'm more interested in your responses for the sex positions.
Yeah.
The next one. The Alaskan pipeline. Malin.
Sex term?
Yes, it is. Do you want to try?
Yes, will you
okay.
guess
do you want to try?
I really have no idea, so I'm just pulling this out of my ass. No pun intended. Oh, Alaskan pipeline.
The Alaskan pipeline.
Can I make
feel
a guess
like
after?
Yes, I would
there
love
is,
that.
I feel like there are many people involved. I feel like it's a lineup of hand jobs. Of penises, just a lot of penises lined up, and people getting
like
handed like a
old,
pipe,
like a massage train, but a penis handjob train.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe there's like guy girl, and
you're
the girls
getting,
are
that,
going
there's
boom,
a
boom.
Lot
like,
of,
there's
like leaks in your pipeline there.
Yes, there are. They need some fixing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is why there's protests all
that's
the,
right.
over the country
that's
regarding
right.
the.
Well, you know, Sarah Palin started the Alaskan pipeline. A lot of leaks in that pipeline.
Now, I have a different idea.
Yes, tell us.
Yes.
Okay, so it's when you go to a state fair, right? And you bring your own cooler. You pay the admission. You head straight for the snow cone concession stand, right? You buy 30 snow cones.
This is
you put them in your
a lot of work.
Cooler and you take them back home and you fill up, you cut a little hole in each snow cone at the end, mm-hmm. the tip, and you use it as a pastry.
Like a pastry, what do you call them?
Yeah, a pastry pump thing.
Right.
You know, pastry bag.
Pastry bag.
You use them to fill up your partner's rectum.
With the frozen snow cone.
Yes.
Okay, you either know this, and this is the answer, or your mind is so fucking good and dirty. Is this for real? Is that what it is?
It's not.
Where did you get
don't
that
go
from?
To.
That was amazing. It's have you done that though?
Oh yeah, plenty of. What do you call that? Are huge in Washington. The wash.
The wash. Right,
pipeline.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm about to read this.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it so gnarly? Oh.
Well, God. The Alaskan pipeline.
Am I going to be less innocent?
Maybe.
I was into snow cones. I mean, and you were into like friendship. Well, just lots of penises holding hands.
This is a real thing.
Okay.
The Alaskan pipeline is the act of pooping into a condom, freezing the rubber overnight, then inserting into one's anus.
Why?
I don't know.
Why don't you just use a dildo? What is wrong with... No, it's fine. Teach their own. I'm not going to judge.
Mon, I really want my... We're so close, I want my feces in you.
Anna, I just, you know, just our event dates have been so great. I'm just not ready to take it to that level just yet.
You have no idea what my feces contain. They are filled with nutrients.
I just feel like we should start on the other end of things with a golden shower and just start there just to see if the smell sits, if the whole, you know, and then we can talk about condoms in a freezer with your poop in it.
I will lie down on that shower floor and let you just give it to me. I want it top to bottom. I want you to hold your bladder for 3 days, babe.
Okay, I can do that. I can do it for you. As long as at the end of this, I get the condom.
Yeah, but great. You got it.
All right, next question.
Oh, wait, we're starting.
I know.
In the pink. Molly.
I don't know. No, you go ahead.
No, okay, Anna, we'll give this one.
I didn't really.
It was a tie, but you know what? Since Malin's ahead right now, 2-1, I should say, here's a chance for you to catch up.
I guess I'm going to have to go with finance term.
You're right. It's used to describe a situation in which an investor or an economy is in a good financial position.
In the pink.
Like, you're not necessarily in the red. You're not in the black. You're kind of in the pink.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for that. Right. Is that really what, or you just
I think
made
that's
that
what
up?
It is. No, okay, I didn't make that up. Next one, the clogged blowhole. Malin.
It is a sexual term.
Yes. Yes?
Yes.
You were very confident about that. Do you know what it is?
Well, it's self-explanatory, is it not?
Okay. Tell me.
The clogged blowhole, it's a blowjob, no?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you get credit
for
that.
Is this not your blowhole
Anna,
right here? This is,
no, she gets it correctly, but do you know what it really is? What is a clogged blowhole?
Well, it's when you're getting pretty serious with this guy who works at SeaWorld. But he's got like... You know, anyway, so he's got some ins, you know, so you're able to get in late at night. And he's one of the guys who like rides the dolphins, you know?
Yeah,
like
for the show, for the actual show.
So he wants you to ride with him on the dolphin. He's going to take you on a dolphin ride in the middle of the night. So there are cameras around, but he's feeling like pretty confident. He's in with the security, you know, whatever. And you wrap your hands, you're giving him a hand job.
Who? Mm-hmm. The dolphin or the guy?
No, the guy. Because you're sitting behind him.
Okay.
You're giving him a hand job and he spurts his wad into the blowhole of the dolphin. And then the dolphin, when it breathes again, shoots a beautiful fountain of sperm.
This has to be the thing, and I want to see it.
No, this is amazing. It's not, but it's
not?
Actually, it's a, the answer Shocking. Is a sex position involving anal and vaginal pleasure simultaneously. But this actually sounds like a much
simultaneously.
Better.
So more than one, like.
Well, I didn't really get like, into
wait,
how
it,
many.
What is it again?
It's a sex position involving anal and vaginal pleasure at the same time.
Oh.
Okay, but that, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm
still
confused.
Blowhole, meaning there's, I guess you're airtight? I don't know.
Yeah, but you still have your mouth.
you still have your mouth, so you're not completely airtight. You
I don't
need a
like
third.
That term.
I don't like that. I like Anna's.
I go with Anna's.
I go with Anna's, yeah, for sure.
Totally.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. I want to see that.
He's a great guy.
Explosion, too.
He is a great guy. The guy that lets you into SeaWorld.
The clogged blowhole only happens with great guys.
I've never experienced it, so I apparently haven't met a great guy yet.
It sounds like a great date.
I'm going to go to SeaWorld tomorrow.
We only have two more, guys, and it's 3-2 Malin. So, Anna, let's see if you can catch up here. Broke the buck. Malin.
Financial term.
It is a financial term. Yes. Broke the buck. It's broke a continuation pattern where, at first, the bounce may appear to be a reversal of the prevailing trend, you know, and then but quickly followed by a continuation of the downward spiral. You got it. Wow. You got it.
Billions.
That's really impressive, Malin. Yep. That was great. We have one more left. You already won this, but just for fun, we're going to do the last one. The suicide drop.
It's definitely.
Malin?
Oh, no, not definitely.
I mean,
it could go either way.
Hey.
I like to go straight to sexual terms. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with sexual terms.
You're correct. Do you want to, you know, kind of get a stab? You want to take a stab at it?
Take a guess?
Yeah.
Sure. So it's when you are, you decide to have sex in a really kinky way on a helicopter landing on the top of a building. And you are so in it and you're like, pushing the person up against the wall and to the next wall. And then all of a sudden you go up to the next wall and there is none. And they drop them off the side of the building. It's called the suicide drop.
While you're having sex. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That bucket list.
Yeah.
No, your answers are so much better.
The guy who went Dutch with you and then you just drop him.
The idea of being terrified and orgasming. Is that a possible?
I think if there's a possibility of poop freezing in a freezer, I think there's a terrifying orgasm as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the answer is it's when a woman drops onto the man's genitalia while he lays flat on his back. So it's kind of straightforward.
Down.
Like if you're
like from
flat
a
on your back.
Height?
Well, you can just.
She parachutes in.
Bullseye.
I mean, that's kind of hard to do if you're just going to like completely fly. Yeah. No, I'm just thinking even if you're on the bed.
That's suicidal for anyone.
No, that's got
to
be the worst.
I still need to know.
I would never let any woman try and suicide drop onto my dick, even if it's from like 5 inches.
Yeah,
are you kidding?
No,
do you know how much that could hurt?
Yeah,
if you're not, you know, you can't just, yeah, but you'll totally break
suicide,
your dick.
Suicide, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Your life is over.
No, that's a scary one.
A broken dick.
Well, and for the woman, too. Like, there's all kinds of...
There's all,
100%.
No, that's not a good one. Let's stay away from the suicide drop.
Yeah. Suicide drop. Yeah. That's so... Why? Okay, it doesn't matter. Should never ask why people do these things. Just do. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still wrapping that one around.
Around what?
Like,
what are you wrapping it around?
Just like, I'm just like the height. Like, know, how much height is needed.
That
for
would
a proper
be very interesting.
Drop.
Like standing up, just
right
for safety. It should not be more than like 1.5-2 inches.
If you're into safety, you're definitely never going to be doing suicide drops.
Nope.
You're not adventurous enough to do a suicide drop.
Absolutely not.
Safety,
wait, I value my penis.
You guys, it probably involves harnesses.
Oh.
Oh, well, that changes things a little bit,
right?
Could be.
Like. Ankle and waist. I mean, you have to have a lot of contraptions here for a proper suicide drop, right?
There are those sex swing
then you could,
things.
Like, slowly. You could have, like, what are the backstage people in theater that do the curtains? And
right.
Stuff? You're going to need
but then
someone
it wouldn't really be suicidal. Then it'd be a careful drop.
Yes. Yeah. Good point.
Suicide drop.
Damn.
You could break something.
Yes.
Wow.
You won the game.
Congratulations, Anna. Your record is now 1-9.
Thank you.
Malin, congrats. We have a prize for you. We'll figure it out later.
Oh,
but she will figure something out.
Great.
You'll take something home from this
bludgeon
house.
To the
Can
head.
I choose what it is?
No. She's going to decide for you.
I was going
to. Might. You know what? You might be. Can you give her a choice of a few objects to take back?
Potentially.
All right. We'll see. Well, at the end of the show, we're going to take a 5-minute break right now. Well, you can find a little toy or something to give back
I
to her,
already
or
have
a prize.
Something
you have
mind.
Something in mind? And then when we come back, why don't we go to the calls?
Great. You know, I have a
we have calls.
Oh, we're going to give advice to people that need our advice.
Well, we're going to give advice.
Yeah, do you mind?
What kind of advice?
It's usually...
We attempt to give good advice, but that's...
It's usually relationship advice.
Oh, yeah. Relationship advice.
Usually, yeah.
Great.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Listeners, dear listeners, we'll be back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, we can start.
Okay.
Oh. All right.
Yeah. So we call people in an attempt to give them relationship advice, and
okay,
it's really pretty amazing and fun.
Okay. Cool. I'm excited.
And I don't know anything about them. Sim is the only one who knows.
Okay.
Yes. So we're actually going to call Ellie first. Ellie.
Do we want to? I I'm on the fence about the age thing.
It's really important.
Okay.
What age? We ask how old they are?
Yeah, because we don't see them, but it's important when we, when we give advice.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are going to call Ellie, and Ellie is in London. She's American, but she's in London.
Oh, all right.
And she's 26, and she's awake for us right now. It must be like 3 in the morning right now.
Oh my God, that's so lovely.
Hello?
Hi, Ellie.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi.
Hi.
You are so sweet to stay up so late. I'm so sorry.
Oh.
It's going to be a little
time is it?
It's about 3:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So we're really going to try and help you.
But, you know, anything for you guys.
Well, Anna's going to introduce...
I love you already.
Anna's going to introduce our special guest to you.
Our special guest is Malin Ackerman. And she's lovely.
Oh, God.
And it's so funny we were just saying how...
Watchmen, I love.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, that was a fun film. The costume, not so much fun. But the movie was great.
Well, amazing. I'm so happy to be speaking to you guys.
Oh, well, you too.
Well, we're going to try and help you, Ellie. So you have an interesting situation coming up with your ex-boyfriend. So before we get into that, give us a little bit of background.
Okay, I will do my best to explain it to you. So basically, I'm from LA originally, and about 2 years ago, I moved to London. And I had a boyfriend in LA at the time, and we'd been dating for like 2 years. And I moved to London just because, you know, things had worked out that way. And we actually did stay together for like a year while I was here. And then obviously, you know, being a world apart doesn't really work. So we broke up after a while. And a little while after we broke up, I started dating a guy here, and everything's, you know, been going really well. And, you know, we've been having a great time being together. But I went home to LA for Christmas back in December, and my ex and I had decided that we should meet up and have dinner and kind of like talk things out. We broke up while I was over here, so we didn't really have a full closure kind of discussion.
Right. I knew that word was coming.
Yeah. So we decided to go out for drinks and kind of talk things out. So we met up and went for dinner and drinks. And first of all, you know, like it's kind of an out of sight, out of mind thing. So seeing him face to face, it was like kind of brought everything back, and it became like way more emotional than I ever wanted it to be. And I ended up crying in a bar, which is horrible, but it was, you know, super emotional and whatnot. But we did kind of end well, where we both said, you know, we have a lot of love for each other and we always will, but, you know, obviously this is not the right thing for either of us to be doing right now. And it's best, you know, we leave it at that. But so it was a good closure talk, but at the same time, the whole thing of like, you know, oh, we'll always love each other. And
you kissed him also, right? Didn't you guys kiss?
Yeah, yes. So
did we
at the end. I mean, no, we didn't, which is good. But we, after dinner, you know, we were kind of like, well, should we just like have one more kiss and have that be that or whatever? So we did kiss. And, you know, when we were talking, we were just talking about us and what had happened. And so it didn't really come up that I was dating anybody in London. And I'd kind of found out right before my cousin told me that my cousin, who's really close with my ex-boyfriend, had told me that he'd been dating this girl for 3 weeks and was going on this big vacation to Hawaii with her for 10 days, which was like a major slap in the face to me because I'd been begging him to go on a vacation for 3 years and it was never like quote unquote possible for him. But, you know, whatever, it ended how it was. And so I flew back to London and I'm back with the guy who I'm dating. And it's like, you know, I did tell him that we had met up and that it was, you know, kind of rough, but it was fine. And that was that. And then I start getting these texts from my ex-boyfriend who is in Hawaii with this girl and is texting me saying things like, you know, I miss you. I wish you were here. It was such a mistake coming here with her. I wish it was you instead. And, you know, first of all, I'm thinking he's texting me this while she's probably like sleeping right next to him or, you know, off somewhere and he's on this vacation with her.
That's a lot of time difference calculation on your end.
Yeah, it was crazy. But, and also it's like he saw how visibly kind of upset I was seeing him and kind of hashing it all out again. So it was really unfair for him to kind of like bring that up again and have it, you know, be really emotionally confusing for him to be texting me these things while he's like in Hawaii with some other girl. But I kind of just kept it civil and was like, you know, you're in a great place. You should have a good time, and didn't really say much else. But now the issue is I'm going back to LA at the end of April for my cousin's wedding. And my London boyfriend is coming with me, which is awesome, but it's kind of an inevitable situation that they're going to like be in the same room and be like a confrontation type thing. It's like my cousin's having a kind of pre-wedding party at his house and my cousin lives with my ex-boyfriend. So he's probably going to be there and he might be at the wedding and my new boyfriend's coming with me. And I just don't really know how to handle this situation because I don't know whether I should like try to avoid it altogether, which would just be so awkward. I don't know whether to confront it head on and like introduce them, which is so weird to imagine. I can't even bear it, or like how to handle it. I just don't know.
Okay, there's lots of thoughts I've got going on. So, to address the wedding advice, I want to go back to a bunch of other things, but to address the wedding thing, simply, I think the answer would be this. And maybe we can circle back to this, but as far as the wedding goes, I would tell your new guy, the British boyfriend, that your ex is going to be there. Just a heads up. I just want to make sure, you know, nothing, it's not a big deal. But he is going to be there. And I would not contact the ex-boyfriend to say anything.
Yeah.
Because then that just sort of creates drama. But now to circle back.
But my question to you is, what are you feeling though for either guy? Like what's happening now when you came back to your boyfriend in England? How do you honestly feel? Do you feel like the guy here in LA is more of like a soulmate kind of thing? Do you feel like it's not the right guy? Like, where are you at in your thought process between guys?
It's like, it's kind of a weird situation because my ex-boyfriend back in LA. You know, we were dating for like two and a half years before I moved here. And we had a really great relationship, but there was always kind of an issue of like, I am much more open about my emotions. And he was a little, you know, he's harder to get things out of. I mean, he's, to be candid about it, he's like a massive stoner. So he, you know, isn't very like loving. Hey, I'm going to like tell you how I feel all the time.
Just a little more philosophical.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And which is fine because I'm like pretty chilled out too, I could say. So that didn't really bother me. But, you know, it was kind of like, it was kind of a consistent issue that I felt like I was putting in a lot more than he was giving back. But at the same time, he was this guy who, I don't know if you guys can relate, but he's just this guy who, like, I was just obsessed with him. I loved him. Like, it was just something about him. I was crazy about him. But, you know, it was kind of like, you know, when I moved away, I tried to make it work for as long as possible, but he didn't, you know, make any effort to come visit me in London and didn't really, like, you know, I knew he cared about me and loved me, but it was just like got to the point where I was tired of putting in more effort. And especially when we're a world apart, you have to meet halfway. So, you know, it fizzled out after that. And when I started dating this other guy, he's like really great and amazing. And I'm like loving every second of it. And he treats me really well. So I'm loving it. And, you know, when I'm here, it's a little bit like out of sight, out of mind, which is why when I went home and spoke to him over Christmas, it was like seeing him face to face again. I mean, the last time we saw each other face to face, we were like totally in love and trying to make it work. So, you know, when I came back, it was fine. I didn't have to see him. But then seeing him face to face was just like harder than I thought. You know, it's just like everything kind of comes rushing back.
Yeah. Well, okay. So it sounds like to me that you are, I don't want to use necessarily love, but you're crushing harder on your ex than you are your current guy. And it also sounds to me, if you guys had about 6 months apart, you know, memory tends to sharpen itself sort of either really positive or really negative. And it sounds like you may have romanticized this relationship a lot.
Yeah.
I personally don't think, you know, I think that people like the idea of closure and look for it. I personally think that I've never heard a case of a good closure in terms of relationship. The only thing there is time. I think that I think you need to maybe really examine the positives and the negatives that you had with your ex, and make sure to remember the things that bothered you, the why it didn't work out. I don't think you should be getting back involved with him in any way, shape, or form. I don't think you should be contacting him. If you ultimately decide that you really love him, and then that's kind of a different thing. That's a different conversation. But I don't think you should. I don't know. I don't think you should be taking.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, he has tried to text me a couple times. And like when he was texting me in Hawaii, I did try to. You know, I was keeping it. You know, I didn't really want to give him anything back so that I would become involved. And I was trying to keep it civil and be like, you go have fun with your, you know, whoever you're there with. You're in an amazing place. Go do it. But, you know, he texts me every once in a while. Hey, how's it going? What's going on? And it's like,
I love it that he texts you in that voice.
Hey, how's it going?
But I also feel like breakups are usually so messy, and you guys didn't get to have the mess of a breakup. Of sometimes you break up, you get together, you end up in bed together, you still realize it's not right. You guys never had that, so it's like it's a very different situation. So, you know, if you Anna just said, you know, if you do the pros and cons, and then you look at the guy that you're with and you do the pros and cons, and the pros outweigh the cons with the guy that you're with, then you just commit to that and you have a real conversation with him, and you be really transparent, and you just say, this is where I'm at, and we never had the mess, or whatever your words are. And It's still loaded in a weird way. And he's going to be at the wedding. And I don't know what that's going to look like. Do you feel like going? Should we go together? How you like, maybe just have a real honest conversation about it. Because,
damn,
you know,
that's good.
Yeah,
it's, I think it's the only way to be is just sometimes to just be completely freaking vulnerable and transparent. And be real about it. And hopefully the guy that you're with understands it. It's not like you're saying you want to get back with him, but it's also saying it ended in a time where we were still kind of in love. And so it's a weird situation and there's nothing normal about it, but I'm with you and I'm committing to you if that's how you feel.
Yeah.
You know, you have to make that decision after doing your pros and cons or whatever you're going to do. And then whatever that decision is, if the cons with your new guy outweighs the pros with your old guy, maybe he's your soulmate. I don't know. But if this guy in England is treating you better, then give him that, you know, and just give him the opportunity to make his own decision as to whether or not this wedding is a good idea or not.
Also, Ellie, too, I wonder if there's a degree of homesickness that could potentially, I don't know, you know what I mean? That LA represents in general, you know, a bigger space in your brain right now. And he's tied into the emotion of LA and what you may or, you know, may or may not miss here or whatever.
Definitely. And that is something. And I mean, what you guys were saying, it's like with this guy here, I have been pretty honest with him. I mean, like I told him that I was going to meet up with my ex-boyfriend when I went home for Christmas and I told him we were going to, you know, meet up and have dinner and talk everything out. And I did tell him, you know, it was kind of hard. Obviously, I didn't tell him I like cried in a bar about it because that's fucking embarrassing for anyone.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So exactly. Want to know what bar.
But, you know, I've been open with him and I'm pretty sure he, you know, he's aware that this guy is like in my home zone. But with my ex-boyfriend, it's like I've come to the realization, especially being with this new guy that like treats me amazing, that, you know, there was like a lot of things. I know that I was romanticizing in a bit when I went home and kind of saw him and was like, oh, the great times were so good, when, you know, you kind of like blank out the bad times. But I do know that they were there and I know that there were like issues that I'd rather not have to deal with. So I am happy, you know, like leaving it where it is in terms of that. But let's just say if I was totally like, okay, I'm leaving it, that's fine. I'm bringing my new boyfriend. I mean, how do I even confront the awkwardness of the situation of them like being in the same room? Do I be like, hey, ex-boyfriend, what's going on? This is I am dating who's coming with me, and you guys should meet?
No, I don't think you reach out to him, especially if he's dating another girl.
No, I mean, like, if we're in person.
Right. Well, they're going to be in person.
What do I do? Like, ignore him at a party?
No. I'm saying give your current boyfriend a total heads up, like, tomorrow. And say this is going to be happening, and I feel, you know, I just want to be transparent with you.
Ellie, does he know you have a boyfriend?
No,
that she
wasn't able to have. But she knows he has a girlfriend, and like
my ex does not know that I have a boyfriend. I've like, you know, posted a couple things on Facebook, like I'm with this person all the time, but we're not, you know, like it's not perfectly clear, and I haven't told him specifically that I have a boyfriend. So it's me bringing this guy. I think he kind of thinks, or probably just assumes, you know, I'm going to be at this wedding coming home, and it might be an opportunity for us to chat or whatever. But
I think this is where you employ your cousin to slip in that you're coming with your boyfriend.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Because
that's a great idea.
Good idea.
That way you don't have to have the setup's not on you, and that opens up the doors to more communication about stuff. I think just try to keep it drama free. Have your cousins mention, you know, whatever. Ellie's coming and she's bringing her her new boyfriend.
And doesn't he is he your ex not bringing his girlfriend?
Right.
Oh, is he still with a girl from Hawaii?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, you don't think he is?
Well, I mean, I have no idea. They'd only been dating for like a couple, like literally 3 weeks when they went. And I mean, I haven't seen or heard anything about her on Facebook or through my cousin or anything. But to be fair, I haven't really been, you know, actively looking for it, but yeah. I don't think, as far as I know, I don't even think, you know, he would be bringing anyone with him to the wedding.
But are they jealous, aggressive guys, or do you think that it would just be fine? Just kind of like, this is the ex and this is my current boyfriend and that's it. Are they, what type
I don't know,
of guys?
I mean, both of them are very like chilled out. Both of them are smoke a lot of weed and are chill.
Perfect.
And like,
yeah,
are cool. But at the same time, I feel like
potheads,
when it comes
to
this kind of stuff, when it's talking about relationships and like, I mean, seeing anybody like your ex with somebody else is kind of hard, but confronting it like face to face and being like, hey, what's up here? Here I am with this guy. You guys want to meet or what?
That's exactly what you do. And you may be in turmoil inside and be like, you may, your stomach may be in knots, but you know, I think as soon as you get over that first wave of like introduction stuff, I think that you'll feel better about it. The issue of you potentially having a lot of feelings towards him is a different one than this interaction. That's different, you know what I'm saying?
And I think you protecting your current boyfriend and giving him the heads up is the nice
thing to do. And asking your cousin to just casually mention, like,
she's coming with her boyfriend.
That's right.
So, and then once you're there, just everything is cool.
You know?
You got, you introduce them, everything is great, smile.
You act cool, they'll
yeah,
act cool.
Absolutely.
And if for any reason one of them acts weird, that's a red flag.
Then
that's
fuck
something
them
to take note of. Yeah.
Not literally, just say fuck.
You know what I'm saying? Like if one of them is at all weird, which it sounds like they probably won't be, it'll be much more nerve-wracking to you than I think to anyone else. Well, I think, I don't know.
And I feel like, you know, if I'm there with my boyfriend from here and not like, you know, alone with my ex seeing him face to face, I'm not going to like burst into tears drunk like I did last time.
Yeah.
So if I have my boyfriend with me, it'll
You'll
be a little easier to just like kind of cling on to that. Yeah,
totally. And you're going to have a lot of friends there. It's like, yeah, no, I don't think so. And I think that, you know, really don't forget about the homesickness element, like all the emotions that kind of get wrapped up with living someplace else without.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
You know what I mean?
I think it'll be a good thing to bring your new boyfriend into that situation.
Yeah.
Just that will be real closure, because then there you are putting a period on it and going, here's my new boyfriend.
So true.
These are my friends.
Or the other thing that happens is that's sort of Bridget Jonesy is that he realizes how much he loves her, does some big romantic gesture, and Ellie leaves her English boyfriend.
That you just made her so nervous.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
For
please, no.
You just got to let life happen.
Well, no, that's good that you said
let the weekend.
See, I think I'm okay on that, because I
good.
Think he'll be like, you know, he would never do anything like that anyway. So,
but even if he tried, or if it was out of character, and even if he tried doing something like that, I think you know that you want to be with your English boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, I do. And what am I going to do? Just be like, all right, you catch the flight home, I'll stay here. That's like not going to happen. So, I mean, it's just not. I agree. I think it's.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You listen to your gut, girl. You just decide. You don't have to make any decisions right now. You
That's
do the right,
right
thing of preparing everyone, and then whatever happens in the moment is what happens in the moment.
And it's
going to
probably
be
so much less dramatic than you could ever imagine.
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yes. Hey, Ellie, I know it's late over there. Thank you. Thank you so much for staying up for us.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Anything to you guys. I had a Red Bull at like midnight. So
I love you.
Amazing.
Yes, and Anna, I love you.
I love you.
And
thank
I wanted
you.
To tell you, me and my friends had this weird, strange obsession when we were younger with watching The Hot Chick. We loved it. And then we graduated to smoking weed and loved Smiley Face.
Oh,
so
that's
I just
so
love
sweet.
You all around.
Oh my gosh, that's really, really funny because the first yes. time Malin and I met was at The Hot Chick.
I was testing for The Hot Chick. It was between me and Rachel McAdams for the other part. And Rachel got it. But that's how I met Anna the first time for that movie.
Boys are cheats and liars. Oh, God.
Boys and cheats are liars.
Such a big mistake. They will do anything.
Oh, you forgot it. You don't remember.
Baseball. He thinks he's going to score.
Oh, you do remember.
Baseball. I think I know it. Yeah. He thinks he's going to score, and if you let him go all the way, then you are a horticulture.
Horticulture studies flowers.
Boys who study rocks?
Yeah, like geologists study, like, horticulture studies flowers. I don't know. Biology? Why would I?
Well, I'm impressed. Either way, I'm impressed. I don't know. Yes.
I'm too. It was a while ago.
Yeah, and I think overall, just to throw one more little, you know, how much I love you in there, I figure if it ever gets too awkward and anything gets weird, I'll just break into song and be like, you know, forgiveness.
Perfect.
Okay, I hope nobody I know listens to this because that's so embarrassing to me.
Yeah, and now it's embarrassing that I'm singing it. Thanks, Ellie.
Thank you so much, Ellie.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Good night.
Guys, pray for me that it's not too awkward. Okay.
It'll be great.
No, you'll be fine. Don't overthink it. You'll be fine.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye. We have one more call.
Okay.
Did you guys think she was in love with the ex or not?
Kind of.
I don't know, not in love. I think it's like in lust. I think it's just like the idea of it. It sounds like the new guy's much better and that like the last guy was.
I hope so.
It sounds like the plot for a Sweet Home Alabama starring Reese Witherspoon.
We'll see. She'll find out at the wedding kind of. It's kind of a perfect situation.
Yeah.
To have both guys in one room and to see how she actually feels.
Yeah.
All right.
I think you're right about like the associating it with different things and
Remember, you know what it's like to film, you know, abroad or someplace else. It's like you get homesick for lots of things and it comes out in surprising ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Homesickness, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Okay.
One more call. We're going to call Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And she is in Los Angeles. She's 24.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, Rebecca. It's Sim. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Anna.
And we've also got Malin Ackerman here.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
She gives amazing advice. You're our second caller, Rebecca. We just talked to somebody in the UK who stayed up till
3 in the morning.
Yeah.
But you're Rebecca. Yeah, thank you so much for agreeing to let us like attempt to give you.
Let's try and help her.
To dissect her life.
Yeah, I talked to her earlier and I really like her a lot. She really needs our help. So, Rebecca, you just started dating a new guy. Tell us what's making you so nervous.
Well, I'm 24. I just started seeing someone. It's really new, but I'm a virgin, so I'm a little nervous about that. More just how do I tell somebody?
Oh, man.
In your note, you wrote to me, like you're wondering if you should say it on the first date, the third date, or a month later, or never. You wrote never, which was interesting.
So wait, definitely not never.
I know that.
But how long have you guys been dating? Or like, and what have the dates looked like?
It's very new. We've only gone on like a few dates. He's very shy. I am too, so that works out. But nothing's really happened. It's going very slow.
Okay, good.
But
Have you kissed him yet? Have you guys made out yet?
No, not yet. So it's going really slow, which I'm okay with. It's just more, when does that come up in conversation? because it's kind of hard to bring up.
Well, what kind of conversations have you guys been having? Has it been very sort of on the surface? Have you guys like scratched the surface a little bit, talking about anything in your past? Like, how, where are you guys at as far as your conversations are going?
So far, just kind of surface, starting to get a little bit deeper, but not too much into like previous relationship or history or anything like that.
Yeah.
How old is he?
And it's not so much, he's a year younger than me, so 23.
Okay.
Wait, are you guys, do you have something on the book soon?
Probably this weekend.
So I wouldn't suggest doing, I think you, this is something that you think you really have to go with your gut on. And I think you will know exactly when the timing is right. Because it'll be when you feel comfortable enough and feel like you can sort of trust him enough. And whether that's on a hike or whether that's right in bed or whether, wherever that is, or whether that's a week from now or 5 months from now, whenever that is, whenever that feels right for you. But I do think that that Malin's onto something in terms of, I think your future goals should be taking the conversation to kind of deeper levels. And I mean, this is so easy for me to say, but is it crazy for you to ask him to kiss you?
No, not crazy at all.
would you feel comfortable doing that?
Yeah, I think I'm at that point, yeah.
Why doesn't he just kiss you?
Because
I don't understand
he's shy.
That.
He's shy.
But after the third date,
maybe that's something that you...
Are you giving him like a signal? Are you giving him... I feel like
Rebecca
she needs
might
to...
Has, yeah, Rebecca, do you think it's... Do you think there's some another issue besides being shy?
I don't think so. I don't know. I'm socially awkward, so like I don't think I'm not good at reading signs and / or giving signs. So
you know what?
I'm not sure exactly.
What you just said is so beautiful, and just to be really, sometimes the best policy is honesty, just like the old quote. But when you sit with someone and you are vulnerable, like you just were with us, and you just said, you know, I'm a little bit socially awkward sometimes, and I kind of just feel like I'd love to kiss you, and how do you feel about it? And, you know, and just going for it and being okay with putting your heart out there for a second and seeing what happens and see how he reciprocates and what you think about his response. And mm-hmm. then once you start feeling more comfortable with him, then and you guys do start scratching the surface, because it sounds like you're both going at the same pace, and maybe you want to take the first step to just open the conversation to just a little bit of a deeper level. Then you can go from there and start just really tapping into your gut as to when, like Anna said, you know, when the right time is, because there really isn't a right time. And it's just about, I don't know about you, but I know that when I sit with people who are really honest and vulnerable, it makes me want to do the same. And if they're not capable of doing that, then maybe that's not the right person. Sense. It's just about being taking one little step of bravery out of your comfort zone and asking him an uncomfortable question that might lead to just the next level as far as your conversation goes.
Okay. Well, what would be a deeper level question?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, what you just said of like if you're sitting there and I don't know what your vibe is with him and how you're feeling when you're in his presence, but if there's something inside you that feels like it's screaming and you want to say like, I feel really shy and awkward and I kind of just want to kiss you. And if that is something that can come out, then maybe that's a great moment to just do it and listen to the voices inside your head. And it's not about, there's no right thing or wrong thing to say. It's about what's happening in you and being able to vocalize what's happening within you so that he can, so that you're allowing him the opportunity to match you wherever you're at.
But I think also before then, in terms of like practically trying to get to deeper places, I think that being incredibly curious about everything and as opposed to just saying like, where did you grow up? You know, Scranton or whatever. I think like probe questions about his high school experience, and not just like, did you play sports? But like, what were your favorite sports? I hated football. Oh, that's so interesting. Like, so wait, why did you hate it? What were the things that, was it, you know, getting slammed by people or, you know, or, you know what I mean? Just like pulling a thread and continuing to unravel it and asking him questions that don't have to be like, did your dad abuse you? But, but pulling threads out of him, if he's not used to conversing with a woman or with anybody on a casual, like getting comfortably into deeper stuff and more curious stuff, then you can start to pull that, you know, do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If you're sitting at dinner with him, it can, you know, you know, you can talk about whatever, him being a Libra, and you can say like, oh, you know, I think whatever, like horoscopes are fun. I don't really believe whatever your beliefs are, or so it can range from silly things, or, you know, did you ever have to wear headgear, or because I did, or, you know, what, like any like little things like that. That
what about asking about past relationships, if he's had any, and what his experiences have been, and sharing?
It still feels like that would be
early?
Fourth or fifth date.
Okay.
That's my feeling. I don't know why. Or maybe it would naturally lead into that stuff. Like if he talks about, well, yeah, I was a jock in high school, and you could say, you know, well, did you date a lot in high school, or what does that mean? Or you were
have really, you guys talked
I guess
about that
he
stuff?
Wouldn't be a jock because he
have shy. You talked about any of that stuff at all?
We talked about like high school stuff a little bit, not previous relationships or anything like that.
And he hasn't brought it up?
No.
So you really have to do the conversing work in this relationship. And hopefully...
Yeah, probably.
Hopefully
just
you can
in the
learn
beginning.
How, right, you know, exactly. Because yeah. Once somebody feels comfortable, then they'll set an example.
Yeah.
We have to do that as women all the time.
Yes, we do.
Sorry.
I guess I'm just nervous because it's kind of like at my age, it's almost like a social stigma, you know, to be
that's
this
the part
old.
That I'm worried about, that you feel, you feeling that part, because you don't have, I mean, I know it's easy for us to say this, you obviously have nothing to be ashamed of, obviously, and it shouldn't matter to anybody who loves you, but like I said, or, you know, who cares about you, or who's a normal person, but like I said, it's easy for us to say that sentiment and to reassure you, but I understand too that there's a world in your age range where maybe it feels like to you it is an anomaly or something like that, but it really is absolutely nothing, right, to be ashamed
of. And I also think that that's something really beautiful. I think, you know, there's the other side of that where someone will be really touched that you have such integrity, and that you are respecting yourself, and your body is a temple, and the person that you're going to give it to is going to be somebody that deserves it. And so if the
person body hasn't always been a temple,
mine has not either. I'm learning from you right now. But it is, it's a beautiful thing, and you should be proud of it, because this is the choice that you've made in your life, and it's a really beautiful choice. And I think that anyone sitting opposite you should be able to take that in and respect it and love you for that, and be feel privileged that you're willing to even share that and talk about it. And if not, then that's not the right person.
Just make sure that when you do talk to him, make sure you take note of how he responds, because that's going to be a key indication of what kind of a guy he is, really.
Yeah.
We're all hoping
but
that he's a great guy.
I still think it should be a conversation a little bit further down the road. I think there should be some
For sure, that conversation
there should
is
be
further
some physical,
down the road.
A little bit of physical intimacy. And I think, like I said, like work hard at sort of pulling the strings of the clues that may not seem all that interesting. If he talks about a car that he owned, you can say, what was your first car? Just explore.
The whys.
The whys.
All the questions to dive a little deeper into the behind the scenes of why
You should see me with the person who sits next to me on the airplane.
Why? What do you do?
Oh, I'm just like, let's get to it. Have you been divorced?
Rebecca, do you feel like you're good with this?
I think that covers it. Yeah, I think I'm just nervous. Not comfortable yet, but I hopefully we'll get
there. Take your time. There's no rush at all.
There's no rush. And
do it at your pace.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Here's this. I'm sorry. Now I'm going to pull another thread. But do a lot of people in your life know this?
Yeah, my friends know. Mm-hmm. They're not virgin, so
right.
I'm the outcast in that in terms of that.
And what's their advice to you? Do you ever talk to them about it, about this kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, we talk about. I mean, like, I know about sex and stuff, but
obviously,
I guess, obviously, but I guess we just talk about mainly just how about their experiences. I don't really share anything about how I'm feeling about it.
Do they ever tease you about it?
They used to, not anymore.
Still,
in high school, I had some friends who did that a lot.
Oh,
but
that's awful.
Yeah. Because I understand how that stuff sticks with you.
What's the final advice for Rebecca here?
Final advice is enjoy this guy and continue. Like we talked about, you know, you may have to do a bit of the heavy lifting initially in terms of conversation. But if you really like him and it sounds like he likes you, I think just pace it out a little bit. But I would ask to kiss him sooner rather than later.
Yeah, see if it feels nice.
Yeah, I bet it would feel nice.
Yeah.
Try it this weekend. It'll be fun.
Yeah,
give it a shot. Challenge yourself and step in out of your comfort zone.
Like, just for a little. I really would like to kiss you right now.
Yeah, see what happens.
And just force yourself to say those words.
Okay.
Pretend that somebody's pushing you off like the diving board.
I have a feeling he might be okay with it.
He's going to be fine with it. He's going to be fine with it. He'll be excited.
Okay.
If he keeps wanting to see you, I think he's going to be just a-okay with it for sure.
Definitely. Rebecca, you are such a sweetheart. You're so nice. And you know what? Everything's going to be fine.
Thanks.
It's gonna be
thank you, guys.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes, it's going to be awesome.
Bye.
Thanks so much,
thank
Rebecca.
You, Rebecca.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Most women collectively have have a bad experience their first time. You know, just collect. Like most
sexually?
Like,
yeah.
But do you think that if you waited longer, you would have a better time your first time?
Not necessarily, but it could be.
No, I'm glad because my first time's already long gone.
Yeah.
I do. So I want to believe that everyone could have a bad time at any given time.
They might have. I mean, I think that some people, if they wait long enough, as you get older, you're sort of like she was saying, you know, she's going on a few dates with the person. She's trying to get to know someone before she gets into bed with them, which is a brilliant concept. you should learn something from her. But it is. I mean, I think there's something beautiful. So maybe because there's more of a connection, it might be a nicer experience. But ultimately, that it's just such a big thing. Like,
there's a learning
many
curve.
There's a learning curve no matter what age you're at.
Yeah.
And every person is different. And no matter how much you've done it.
Yeah.
Every person has a different way of doing it, and it's not necessarily the way you like to do it.
Yeah.
So at any age.
At any age. Sure. Yep. For sure.
Well, that's a good spot to end it. What do you think?
Will you do me a favor?
Yeah.
We can't end the episode without a collective fuck you, Sim.
Okay.
Maybe everyone in the room could say it too on the count of three. One, two, three. Fuck you, Sim!
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Oh, yeah, follow us on all that stuff.
Yeah, all the unqualified. Follow us on the social media. And, billions on Showtime.
Watch Billions. Yes.